This is MSO Sports. I'm Rick Moore. Happy now to be talking with a longtime friend of MSO, John Gardner, coach of the Linfield boys hockey team. Coach, welcome back. Happy New Year, and how are you?
Doing great. Hockey season, like you said, get through the holidays. Happy holidays. Happy New Year to you, and just excited to be talking hockey again.
You know, looking at your schedule, John, I was amazed the other day. You packed in 7 games in a very short amount of time. Now, let's go over that before we talk about specifics about your team. Putting together so many games at the beginning of a season where you have turnover, especially in high school, what does that do in terms of development, in terms of how you figure out who plays where? It's probably as important as practice, maybe more important than practice to get these games in?
So it depends on the team. Last year we graduated or lost 16, and we kind of backfilled the schedule where we only had maybe 3 or 4 games in December, and we wanted to coach them up before they started, you know, facing real live ammunition. And this year we only graduated 2. We're always in that Boston Latin Christmas tournament. So we just ended up, you know, rolling with first opportunity to play a game. Again, there's only a certain amount of Wednesdays and Saturdays to jam them in. So this year we got a bunch in December, and we were happy about that.
Looking at those games, again, you've had so many packed in there. I think the only game that I see that maybe you had a disadvantage was Hanover. Other than that, in terms of the score, you put together some really close games, and I'm imagining they must be pretty competitive. So how is that shaking out in terms of line development and defense development? And tell me what those games have meant.
Well, we kind of scheduled a murderer's row in December. That was, without question, the hardest first 5-pack of games we've had ever.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, it was Hanover number 1, D3, Scituate number 3, Essex Tech number 4, just tough teams. Boston Latin, who's always difficult, Division 2, always coached up well. The Hanover game, believe it or not, we were 3-2 in the third,
okay,
up, and it was 3-3 with 5 minutes left.
Oh, wow.
So the scores are deceiving. They had an empty netter. A lot of coaches are worried about the goal differential. We were down 5-3 in a championship game with a chance to win some hardware. Their goalies have been struggling, so you can be sure we're going to pull our goalie. I don't care about the 3-goal deficit thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been kind of a trial by fire. As much as I said, we returned a lot of guys. We have a very good freshman class. We took 6 freshmen, and you know, so it's kind of eye opening for those guys that have good preseasons. And the next thing you know, you're chasing around guys from Scituate or Essex Tech, and you're like, whoa, what did I get involved in here? So it's kind of a learning curve. But so far, I was proud. We were 2-2-2 going through that gauntlet December, and we had a lot of some injuries, some sickness that everyone's probably dealing with, but I was pretty pleased with a .500 record in December.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned those teams like Scituate and Essex Tech and Hanover, but also you know, Gloucester, and I'm guessing a very important win over Winthrop.
Yeah, we have a good rivalry with both those schools. Winthrop was a nail biter. We scored with 0.5 seconds left with a goalie pulled and won in overtime. Our first 6 games, we either pulled or the other team pulled the goalie. The only game that we didn't have a goalie pull was against Gloucester because it was 1-1. So we're been right down to the last second in every game, which is great.
I know, and I'm looking at the schedule and just shake it. You see, you got Newburyport coming up. Anyway, let's talk specifics now. Tell me about some of your kids.
Yeah, we got a two-headed monster in net with Michael Morange and Angelo Covino. They're just in a timeshare. They've been in one for the past year and change, and they feed off each other, kind of like the old school Swaim and Allmark thing. They just, you know that they got to focus on their game, and they get it done, and then they push each other. So it's just been a great, kind of like a little thing that they push each other and keep getting better, and who's going to hold serve and who's going to try and, you know, step up a notch. So that's been excellent. It's helpful when we have a bunch of young D. We converted Nick Kelter captain to forward. He's a Swiss Army knife, and we needed some juice on forward with losing the Considine kid who had like 35 points for us. So he's been giving us some juice up front. And then who else? Brendan Driscoll's another captain, big stalwart on D, plays a ton of minutes, all situations, really big time leader, real mature. Anthony Collins, the other captain, kind of a different look than the Nick Kelter, who's really like speedy, fast, physical, and like blunt force. Anthony's a little more dynamic and shifty, so that helps with those three pack of captains. A lot of good leadership with our assistant captains. Just a good mix of skill, speed, physicality. Physicality, I would emphasize the most. We're trying to lean into that as our strength because we do have. I've had some skilled teams, some not so skilled teams, but I've never had a team so kind of mean and nasty, which I kind of like.
I was going to ask you that. Newburyport and Linfield, when I think of those two teams in the Cape Ann League, always, to me, I envision kind of big, tough kids who like to go into the corners and stuff. What's the size of your team?
So we got a good mix. Again, my couple guys, I have a forward, a football guy, 6'2", 220. I mentioned Nick Kelter. He's like 5'11", but he's a physical specimen, track and field star, really strong. The Driscoll defenseman's another kid that's like just under 6 feet, but strong, probably pushing that 180. And then we got a couple like taller, like rangier, lanky kids that aren't afraid of the physical stuff either. And even some of our smaller, shiftier guys, they got a good base. They're strong. Again, they'll initiate contact. It's not just kind of trying to stay away from it. They'll get in on the forecheck. So it's a good mix.
Early on, how many lines have you been able to play?
Oh wow, this is a very deep group in the sense that our forwards like 8, 9 through no lie 18.
Wow,
that's how good our freshman class is. Have all like gotten some semblance of a dress. / shifts. So I have like gone as much as I'd probably say 6 lines have gotten a dress / minutes. Obviously your top 9 are getting a majority of that, but we've had to mix and match due to an assortment of reasons, and guys just kind of step up and it keeps that healthy competition going.
That sounds like fun, trying to figure out who goes where.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, it's amazing. We're almost halfway through the season already. That blows my mind. Finally getting a chance to talk with you. Strength of schedule in terms of this first third of the season, John, not a winning record, but as you said, a good competition. The strength of schedule is going to work in your favor, I would expect, with the games that you've played.
Yeah, that's the plan always. I never understood scheduling tomato cans. It doesn't do anything for your team. We were proud of 2 years ago. We were the number 4 seed with a 10-9-1 record.
Mm-hmm.
So that just tells you how strong our schedule is. Battle tested is the phrase that everyone uses. But I think the past few years we've had, Division One's a different animal. They all play each other, so they get a bump from their strength of schedule. But Division Two, Three, and Four are all pretty even playing field, and I want to say if you take divisions 2, 3, and 4, that's like 160 teams in the Commonwealth. We're always in the top 30 for strength of schedule, for that big group of teams in the state. So we pride ourselves in that. Our old coach, Drew Taylor, used to schedule Murders Row non-league, and we try and follow suit.
Yeah,
with that.
Yeah, you guys have always done that. All right, coming up, Coach. You've got a powerhouse in the Cape Ann League, traditionally North Reading, followed by Newburyport, similar. Tell me a little bit about these upcoming games and what you expect from them, and then maybe how you see the league overall.
Yeah, North Reading's our rival. It's always going to be eventful no matter what, whether we're up, they're down. It's been both ways. That pendulum has shifted a couple times since I've been at Linfield for 14 years. They're feisty. They got a good top line. I know they'll be coming for us tomorrow night, and we just need to stick to our system, execute the game plan, And I'm sure we'll be in another goalie pull situation one way or the other. Newburyport, always hard-nosed, physical team. I know that they graduated their goalie who was KPN League Player of the Year, so that's big skates to fill, and I think they've been struggling a little bit with that, but they're always a handful. So we don't take any opponent in the Cal lightly. You can't this year. The Cal, Baker Kinney division, it doesn't matter who you playing, you better bring your game or you're gonna leave with an L.
Right.
It's a strong league this year.
I got two final questions, and one is a little bit off base, but before that, at this point in the season, what would you say is the strength of your team, Coach? What are you best at?
I mentioned we're pretty mentally tough. I mean, we've had some injuries and sickness and some games that kind of don't go our way, and we kind of stick together and plug away. Saturday night, we spotted Amesbury a three-pack of goals in the first, including our first shorthanded goal given up on the year. And 9 out of 10 times, maybe even more, I've been on the bench for the wrong side and the right side. That turns into like a 7-2, 8-3 sloppy game. We went in the room, we regrouped, we talked about what we needed to do to just shrink the game up, and next thing you know, it's 3-2 in the third period. So we didn't get all the way there. We ran out of steam. As I mentioned, some guys are just, fighting stuff and trying to play through it. So, but I was really proud of them with the 3-2 loss. Our guys are pretty – I've been using the word for maybe 8-10 years, and it seems to be like a very popular word lately, but we're very resilient.
Mm-hmm. Coach, before I ask my final question, I just wonder what the effect, the Drake May effect is. Meaning, I know kids watch sports, they watch the highlights, they watch ESPN and TikTok and whatnot. But the Drake May effect in terms of putting a bad play behind you. I've watched him make some plays early on, but even last year, where he makes an interception, he fumbles, he does this, he does that. He immediately, somehow, puts that in the rearview mirror and say, okay, let's get him on the next play. Is there any trickle-down effect of that kind of thing, either through coaching or with kids watching videos like that?
Yeah, I mean, we like the cross sport. We give a lot of examples of that through our team app that we use, just to kind of like highlight on stuff that we've talked about through hockey, but through different channels. You just said it, the rear view versus road ahead. The rear view, it's done. The only thing you take away from it is don't do it again. Learn from mistakes. And then it's just like, what's the next play? The proverbial goldfish mentality. It's no memory. It's gone within 3 seconds. So, our guys, they obviously have to be adhering to that to do some of the things that they've done already this year. And we still have a pretty high ceiling with the youth movement that we have, and like I said, a good mix. So a lot of character with this group, and I think it's going to pay dividends in February, March, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you're always speaking highly of your kids no matter what, and the optimism at this time of year is pervasive and good. And I was just thinking of goaltenders. I wish goaltenders could go on a lecture circuit and just tell athletes in all sports, well, this is how you do it, because you give up a goal and thousands of people are cheering, red lights go off and sirens go off, and then you just get out and make another play. The attitude is amazing. My final question, John, is a little off topic, but in terms of recommendations, I was been talking to some parents, and they're talking about kids who play one sport all year round. What is your recommendation on that?
So I'll draw from our coach I mentioned earlier, Drew Taylor. I think it's imperative that you put your hockey bag in the basement for a long stretch of time. Cross-sport, pollination from learning different skills. Like, I literally referenced this yesterday with a couple drills we did, and I'm like, did any of you guys ever play 3-on-3 basketball or backyard football, where it's like the concept of just get open? Like, you understand what that means? Like, if you're playing one sport, does that burnout effect? Hockey, swimming is another one where you get rink fatigue / pool fatigue. It's like the environment is very different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's crucial that these kids play other sports. I'm telling you, like, put the bag in the basement or garage for a 2 to 3 month stretch, minimum. So yeah, I think that's imperative for, you know, a good development for a kid. And again, to avoid that complete burnout.
Excellent. Excellent. John, I always appreciate it. And, now that I know what I know, we're going to talk a lot more this season.
You call me whenever you want, man.
I appreciate that. Say hi to your brother for me, please. And good luck this week.
Thanks a lot. Great talking to you.
Okay, coach. Thank you. That is John Gardner, the boys high school coach at Linfield High School. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.